Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm really pleased to welcome Bob Birmingham to the microphones. He's done a lot of great archaeological work here in the state, and he has a new book out, and I really enjoyed reading this book. It's called Life, Death, Archaeology at Fort Blue Mounds, a Settler's Fortification of the Black Hawk War. It's a fascinating book because it goes back in history, and we learn about the Black Hawk War and some of the reactions to the war and to the times, part of the result of which were the establishment of a lot of forts. There were a lot of forts built about the time of Black Hawk because people were worried about the what was going to happen or what could happen to them. And Bob's written about it. He's done a lot of work at the Fort Blue Mounds site and has written a fascinating story, and he's here to tell us about it and certainly to get your questions and comments as we move along today. Maybe you have some questions about the archaeology of Wisconsin, the history of it. Maybe have you been to the Fort Blue Mounds area? Do you have a favorite historical site in Wisconsin? We can talk about all that with him. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And Bob Birmingham, former Wisconsin State Archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society and author of Life, Death, and Archaeology at Fort Blue Mounds, a Settler's Fortification of the Black Hawk War. Good to see you, Bob.
Nice to be here. And I'm glad you enjoyed the book. It was an absolute fascinating project to work on.
Yeah, how did you get so interested in this?
Well, you know, it actually goes back a long time in my career. I always had a fascination about the Black Hawk War because of the fact that my first paid job as a graduate student was to conduct archaeological survey and work along the Rock River in Illinois. And all of that area is Black Hawk country. You run into Black Hawk name everywhere. Yeah. But one time, a friend of mine in Rock Island, Illinois, took me over to show me where Black Hawk's village actually was. And it was under a gas station and homes and so on. And he knew it because of some things that they've been finding there. But I really felt kind of sad that, you know, such a hero, a notable historical character, his village was, you know, sort of ignored and so on. And, you know, I sort of that kept after me for a long time. Long time after that, I became state archaeologist in Wisconsin. And one of the topics that came up for preservation was at that time the Wisconsin Heights Battlefield, which is along the Wisconsin River near Prairie du Sac.
Yeah.
And it had been a place where Black Hawk fought off militia under the command of Henry Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is a very famous battle in American history because Black Hawk actually stood off the militia. He was doomed, of course, after that. There was a terrible massacre at Bad Axe that decimated his group. But in any case, I was aware of the fact that the battlefield was threatened with development of condominiums. And so I contacted some acquaintances over at DNR and found out that they, in fact, had a new program associated with preservation of lands along the Wisconsin River. And at that point, they had money for acquisition. And so quickly, it was just the right place at the right time. We had worked together, and the DNR acquired this famous battlefield, and it's a place you can visit today. So thinking about that, I thought, well, you know, what other sites that could be endangered from this really interesting period. And a colleague mentioned to me when I was thinking about this and looking for, he said, did you know that the State Historical Society owned a Black Hawk War fort called Fort Blue Mounds? I had no idea, no. And as it turns out, it was the first acquisition by the Wisconsin Historical Society early in the 20th century when the descendants of the builders gave the fort site to the Wisconsin Historical Society.
And is this a small, it's like quarter acre?
Yeah, well, that's what they gave. That's what they deeded over, was a quarter acre. And basically after that, because it was surrounded by private lands, everybody just sort of forgot about it, you know. And so I went, I made some contacts out at Blue Mounds. And of course, Blue Mounds is 30 miles, about 30, not even 30 miles west of Madison. So this is pretty local. And that was the exciting part of it, too, is that it was not only important part of Wisconsin history, but it was also very local here. And I went out there and indeed found a historic marker in the middle of a cornfield. It would have said, here is Fort Blue Mounds, you know. Unfortunately, all other evidence had been eliminated. And through plowing, years of plowing, there had been some cement markers. We have photographs of the dedication of the fort in the early part of the 20th century, and it shows cement markers and so on. All of those I found piled up next to the historic marker, you know. And so, went back to the Historical Society and looked at the deed. And the deed said, here's a quarter acre is deeded to the Historical Society, and here's the location. Starting from the middle of the fort goes so many paces. You know, it was not, there was no external reference. So at the same time, visiting out there, I noticed that the development from Madison was proceeding out in fact, in Blue Mounds, right in sight of the fort. New subdivisions are popping up. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, we don't know where exactly where the fort is, where our property is. And development, it's just a matter of time when we're going to see Fort Blue Mounds Heights, you know, in a subdivision. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, began a project to relocate Fort Blue Mounds. And along the way, learn more about its history. And actually, it did play a very important role in the Black Hawk War.
And we have callers online with questions for you. And you may need to put on a little headphone set there to hear. But let's go to Jeff in Fox Lake. Jeff, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. Very interesting subject. I just maybe partially answered it while I was on hold. I was wondering the specific physical locations of, I think I'm familiar with the where the Black Hawk War was near Prairie du Sac. I haven't been to that area now since you mentioned the land purchase. Was that near the historical marker there?
Yes, right there at the historic marker. There is, in fact, a little parking area there.
Okay.
And the battle site has been purchased. There are trails that run through there now. At one point, a individual named Dave Jetson, who worked
for the DNR.
In fact, he was key. He got so excited about the Black Hawk War that he helped shepherd the purchase of the property, and then became a Black Hawk War aficionado. I mean, he just studied everything about it, and especially the Black Hawk, the Wisconsin Heights battlefield. And he and some volunteers put up a number of signs. But of course, DNR doesn't have much money these days, so they haven't kept up those signs. But taking the battlefield map, published maps, and they're published, you can pretty well tell where things happened, and it's a lovely walk.
Okay, yeah. I will have to be sure and visit that site. And the other second part of the question was, where was Fort Blue Mounds located in relation to, say, the city or the either state park or county parks in that area?
Oh, yeah, it's actually south of 18151. It's on the other side of the highway.
Oh, south. Okay.
South. Yeah, it's not in the modern village of Blue Mounds. The modern village actually dates to more recent times. The original village of Blue Mounds was actually up where Cave of the Mounds is. That was the original settlement.
I was, Right, familiar and then, with those areas.
And then Fort Blue Mountains was actually built at diggings, lead mine diggings. Ebenezer Brigham moved to what is now Blue Mounds in 1828, and to mine lead, and his diggings were where Fort Blue Mounds is right now. And in fact, in that area, you can still see the tailings from the lead mining diggings. But the problem right now is that it's still surrounded by private land, so it's not really officially open as a historic site yet. The village of Blue Mounds is historical society is extremely excited about developing a park there.
And we will talk some more about that with our guest today, Bob Birmingham, who is the author of Life, Death, Archaeology at Fort Blue Mounds. Stay with us. We are digging deep into Wisconsin history with a look at an archaeological site that gives us a unique view of life in Wisconsin before we became a state. Hi, Larry Mueller here. So glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. This hour, archaeologist Bob Birmingham is with us, telling us about Fort Blue Mounds, which played a role in the Black Hawk War in the 1830s. He and a team of archaeologists and volunteers worked on the site over the course of 8 years, and he said they learned a lot about the lives of Wisconsin settlers, and he talks about them in his book. And over the next half hour, he'll tell us about the history of the site and the efforts to locate it and learn from it, and certainly talk with us about its history. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll be back with our guest right after this look at the news. Happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about a piece of Wisconsin history today with archaeologist Robert Birmingham. He is the author of Life, Death, Archaeology at Fort Blue Mounds, a settler's fortification of the Black Hawk War. Great to have him along, and certainly happy to have you listening in. Questions for him, comments, the number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And Bob, thanks again for being with us today. And I think one of the really interesting things about your book is, well, first, you give us a nice, we learned a lot about the Black Hawk War in the first part of it. But also, the second part, of course, deals with one of the forts. And I think one of the interesting things about your book is that in the past, I don't think we've heard much about the people, the settlers who were in that area. And that's kind of what you get into with your book.
Yeah, I do start off with a description, a history of the Black Hawk War. It has, in fact, been much written about.
Yeah.
And I give a summary, and I have some ideas, some new ideas in that summary. But the book is not about the Black Hawk War itself. No. It's more about the role of the settlers and militia and so on during the Black Hawk War, which was a topic that has not been really treated extensively. Not that we... I'm particularly sympathetic about people fighting the Indians, but I'm just saying that this was an enormous shock. Black Hawk brought 1,000 men, women, and children with him from Iowa across the Illinois or across the Mississippi River into Illinois with the idea of reclaiming his homeland. In his mind, apparently, he thought he could do this peacefully, and I go into possible motives in the book. But the point being is that the area that had been his land, and those are the Saucet Fox, is now occupied by lots of settlers in along the Illinois River. Lots of agricultural people, lots of farmers, had moved in. In our area, southwestern Wisconsin, northwestern Illinois, was the great lead mining district. And so there are a lot of people, settlers and others, living in these areas. And as they heard that Black Hawk had crossed the river, an alarm went out. Governor of Illinois was a state at the time, in fact, said, ironically, the Indians are invading. And yeah. So this had a ripple effect. There were some violent confrontations along the way that convinced just about the entire population of what was northern Illinois, southwestern Wisconsin, and so on, to build or otherwise fortify almost 80 fortifications. Literally, the whole frontier had panicked and had built up fortifications. Many fled the whole area because of the stereotype and what people were saying. The Indians are coming to kill you, you know, and that was what had reached the people living in this little village of mining village of Blue Mounds, that Black Hawk and his warriors were on their way north to this area, and that is what caused them to build a fortification and to form a local militia to defend themselves.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Jack in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Great. I heard you mention Ebenezer Brigham a few minutes ago, and I'm actually a direct relative of his. My last name is Brigham, and I was calling to get a little bit more about his life, maybe do a little bit of family tree searching here over the radio.
Yeah.
And specifically about Cave of the Mounds.
Yeah.
Because my great-grandma always told me a funny story about him dynamiting and somehow discovering Cave of the Mounds. Not sure if that's true, though.
I don't think it was Ebenezer. I think it was somebody else down the line. Yeah, there are some Brighams out in that area still, also, that you should make acquaintance of. And in fact, I'll give you my email, and you can email me, and I can put you in touch with some other relatives that still live in the area.
And, sure, that'd be great.
But you are probably not a direct descendant of Ebenezer, since as one of his relatives told me, and that was Rooney, Elizabeth Rooney, who was a poet and other sorts of things. She married into the family. She said that Ebenezer had no children to speak of.
Oh.
She added that. So you're likely actually a descendant of his brother, who lived in the same area with him. And the State Historical Society has a huge volume of Brigham papers, enormous amount, letters, so on. But Ebenezer founded the village. He was a lead miner. He went on to hold lots of public offices in Dane County and so on. He's a very important individual. But as I said, the State Historical Society has enormous amount of information on Brigham. They also have, and you could probably check this online, pictures of him, which I reproduce in the book. But like I said, before we end today, I could give you my I'll give email for anybody who wants to ask a question, and I could put you directly in touch with some folks that I think you'd find interesting.
Mm-hmm. Great, that'd be awesome. Yeah, look more into. Would you happen to have his brother's name?
You know, it escaped me at the moment, but I can give you that name.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We may even have you on my Facebook page, too, in case, I'm sure we do, somewhere along the line we've got you on there. Bob, but what's your email address?
I'm pleased to answer questions. In fact, I could just give you it right away. Use my campus. I teach at UW Waukesha, and it's robert.birmingham, B-I-R, at uwc.edu.
So robert.birmingham. At
UWC.
UWC.edu.
Yeah. Be glad to communicate with anybody. And oftentimes people provide us with new information.
Yeah. So it's kind of a two-way deal.
Absolutely.
All right. Bruce in Madison, your turn. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Hi, Bob. I'm an amateur
arrowhead collector and point collector, and I make my own arrowheads and very interested in archaeology and things. And I did go up and visit you once when you were digging up at Blue Mound.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling because there's a field that I look in that's about, as the crow flies, 5-6 miles north of that fort. And I was looking in there a couple of years ago, and there was one spot in the field, and I frequently found horse bones in there. I know they're horse because of the teeth that I found.
Ah.
And when I was looking in there, one day I found half of a human jaw.
Oh.
And I was wondering, I seem to have some recollection that there was, during the Black Hawk War, there was somebody who went missing from Fort Blue Mounds.
Oh, yeah.
And
go ahead.
So I was just wondering if there's a possibility that could have been the person. That's the only thing I can come up with, that there would be horse and human remains on the surface at that spot.
Right. Well, first of all, you should report that find to the Wisconsin Historical Society. Anybody finding human remains under state law needs to report that, and they can in fact do an investigation that would probably provide more information on exactly that. So report that to the Wisconsin Historical Society Burial Sites Preservation. Now, as to the individuals, actually 5 or 6 miles north of the site would be too far. For the individuals that were killed, there were 3 deaths at Fort Blue Mounds. One was when several of the fellows from the fort went to what is now the area of Cave of the Mounds, where there was a major spring, to get water. And they were attacked by several native people who actually seemed to have been local Ho-Chunk people who were settling private scores. They had been angry that the settlers were basically using their land, but there had been some words between some of the young men and the settlers. In any case, so it was one of the individuals, a man named Aubrey, was killed, and then some weeks later. A Black Hawk actually dispatched a war party to specifically attack Fort Blue Mounds. We know that because the Ho-Chunk chiefs of the area, of the Four Lakes area, who were ostensibly on the American side. I say ostensibly because we get the impression that they wanted to kind of stay out of it, but they were very sympathetic to other Native people who objected to some of the land issues and so on. But in any case, a Sauk war party attacked, and there were 2 riders out scouting, two gentlemen named Force and Green were out scouting along the trail, and they were attacked by Black Hawk warriors. Now, why Black Hawk was sending out war party, he was nowhere near. As close as I can figure, he was probably at that time in the Fort Atkinson area. And so long ways away. But he had a strategy of harassing local settlements and forts, especially forts that were being built up, in order to keep the people in the forts and keeping them from riding out to intercepting his band. So it was a very clever way of all of the forts thought they were under attack, so they weren't going to move out of that. So instead of joining together and heading them off, so Black Hawk band or warriors killed these 2 men. One individual was horribly mutilated and apparently within sight of the fort. Here is another tactic. Now, taking trophies of parts of bodies was done by both sides, by the Americans and Native people. That was part of war at the time. But this person was really mutilated, And the idea, again, was to terrorize the people in the fort so that they would not come out and attack the main band. Now, all three of those people, we know generally where they were buried. One individual was buried along the trail, the main trail, which is roughly in the area of Highway 151, 18151 right now. Mm-hmm. The other two, one was said to have been buried at the fort, and the other one was buried on a knoll northwest of the fort, according to the document, where it would be a good place for a cemetery. We have not, that's in the next project, is to relocate these graves, but we have not done so far. But anyway, any burials outside of those areas are unlikely to be associated with this particular fort.
Thanks,
right.
Bruce.
Well, I was just wondering, because I didn't think it was a burial, because everything was on the surface.
Well, plowing frequently brings up things from below the surface. You know, I can't even guess right now what kind of site you would have. But, you know, is it south of the Wisconsin River?
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But 5 or 6 miles. These areas, if there's horse bone there, it's associated. It could be historic camp and the territory at the time was occupied by Ho-Chunk people.
Hmm. Okay. Right. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You're Vernon Appleton, let's go to you. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate it. I love this program. And your guest said something that really caught my eye earlier, and he was down in Rock Island, Illinois.
Right.
That is my home area.
Ah, yeah.
I grew up down there.
And great area. Archaeologically always, spectacular area.
Yeah. I've often wondered just how much Black Hawk was involved in that area. Now, we've had Black Hawk State Park for years.
Right.
And now it's not a state park, but it's a state nature center, I believe.
Right.
But I just wondered, how much did you find anything that he was really involved in that area?
Yeah, and we know from a variety of historic documents, his base village was called Saukinuck, and is right there in Rock Island. It apparently had several different locations. One was on the island there. Vandross Island?
Arsenal Island?
The island in the Rock River.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, the island in the Rock River is one place. I may have the name wrong. I'll have to search my memory banks here. Maybe it was Vandross Island, something like that. But it was an island. But another location, and I saw, in fact, this location, is literally under Rock Island, the city of Rock Island, myself. So we know from many historical accounts, you know, where his village was. There was a third a Sauk village or a Sauk and Fox village that may be associated further up the Rock River on the south side below the golf course, if you know where that is. But in any case, we have abundant historic documents. Archaeologists excavated one of the sites because it was going to be used for a borrow area for a highway. This was already 40 years ago, but also found a lot of artifacts that are contemporaneous with Black Hawk. So it was that area, it was that village that really infuriated him, because he went on a winter hunt one time and came back and found that settlers had built their houses on the village and, in fact, were plowing over the graves of his ancestors. And so that is what ultimately really got him going and later led to his decision to come across the river and reclaim those lands.
Mm. Thanks again, Vern, for calling. Appreciate it. Elvie in Briggsville, hello to you.
Hi.
And what's on your mind?
Well, I was going to tell a little story about, you know, you're talking about Blackhawk and everything. You know, he actually sent the women and children down the river in canoes, and the militia, whatever, opened fire on them.
That took place at two times. One was at the at the Battle of Wisconsin Heights. The militia was closing in on Blackhawk, and Blackhawk's warriors stood him off. But at that time, a number of the people, including women and children, decided to head back and to safety of their Iowa place. At that point, Blackhawk had tried to negotiate several times, and the Americans were not, including at Wisconsin Heights. So they tried to go down, and there were some deaths there, but also after the Bat Axe massacre in August of 1832. A number of people tried to flee down the river, and were indeed killed by, not only militia, but some Native allies. The Sioux were on the American side, and they had also killed a number of the people. But some of the people were also taken captive, and we know that because the military has accounts of their interrogation of the captives. And what Blackhawk was thinking and so on. But your story is correct.
Mm. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it. And here we are with just a minute or so to go. And we, the things really flew by. The time has really flown by. And a fascinating part for me of your book is the whole business with the archaeology of the fort. It's
right.
Just a really fascinating story.
Yeah, it was a detective story because, as I mentioned before, we didn't know exactly where the fort was. And we were concerned that it would have been eventually destroyed. So we at least wanted to find out where the fort was with relationship to the property that the state already owned.
Yeah.
And so this took a long time. We had a lot of volunteers, a lot of people who were just interested in coming out and helping us. Because normally a project like this would be extremely expensive. But there was some haste involved. So we had volunteers every weekend for 8 years to look for the fort. And ultimately, there's a lot of missteps along the way, as I document in the fort, because we were misled by historic documents. But ultimately, we did find the plan of the fort, and ultimately was entirely on state property. The quarter acre.
Yeah.
Historic documents led us to believe that this was a huge fort. The people who were there were writing in the late 19th century of this huge fort they built, obviously exaggerating and misleading us for quite some time until we figured it out. But doing the archaeology, matching it to the historic record, and then finding out more about the people behind the artifacts was just a fascinating and interesting a project for me, and I'm really glad to have shared this in this book.
Thank you so much. The book is Life, Death, Archaeology at Fort Blue Mounds, A Settler's Fortification of the Black Hawk War. Robert Birmingham, our guest today, was the author. It is a fascinating book with a lot of great photography as well. I might pictures of the artifacts and other things that are really impressive. Appreciate it, Bob. I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Robert Birmingham. We'll have him back and we'll do it again. Thank you so much for listening. Scott Craven joins us tomorrow for a look at the world of wildlife. Stay with us.